Well, I invite you to open your Bibles this morning to James chapter 1. James chapter 1 is what we'll be looking at this morning. We're going to be talking about how to respond to difficulty, because in reality, there's all kinds of options out there that we can respond to difficulty from. A lot of times, unfortunately, we listen to bad advice in responding to our difficult situations in life. And that's one of the reasons we're going to be looking into God's word this morning. Another thing we often do is sometimes we just follow the crowd. We look around and go, hey, what is everyone else doing? And I'm going to do what they do. And so that's not usually a good option as well. Sometimes we're just guided by the circumstances. And so whatever happens today, you know, we respond today that way. And tomorrow, as the circumstances change, we respond differently. But today, I want us to look into the book of James, because James is one of, if not the most practical book in Scripture. And it speaks a great deal to how to respond to difficulty. So if you've got your Bible with you in James chapter 1, we're going to begin with verse 1 and read through several verses, so you just follow along as we read together. It says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. And then in verse 2 he says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Verse 5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. It's interesting, as you read that first chapter of James, he talks about the reality of trials, because difficulty is a part of life, but it's also important to look at it from a scriptural viewpoint. He says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, in verse 2, whenever you face trials of many kinds. And one of the things that he tells us right off the bat is this: when you think about difficulty, when you think about what you're facing, when you think about what we're facing with what's going on in our community, in our country, in our world, with this coronavirus, one of the things that he says is that trials are standard in life. Trials are standard in life. He says, whenever you face trials. He didn't say if you face trials. He says, whenever you face trials. I don't know if you've ever bought a car and you're talking to a salesman and he's going over what features are on the car. And there's one part that he'll always say, no, these are standard features. In other words, he says, this is what's on every car that is like this. I mean, it's a certain kind of safety feature or certain kind of entertainment feature. But these are standard features, and then there are options. Well, one of the things that James tells us here is one of the standard features of life, regardless of who you are, regardless of what you believe, one of the standard features of life is difficulty, trials. I think that's important, because many times, you know, when we face difficulty, I think we think this, and I know many of you have heard this. You'll hear people say, when things are going good, you know, they feel like, hey, God's for me. He loves me. He's with me. And then when things go bad or when there's difficulty, we feel like God is against us and he doesn't love us. And what James does is he just does away with all of that. He says, one of the things you have to understand about the reality of trials is that they are standard options in life. No one escapes us. He goes on in verse 2 and he says, when we face trials, and he tells us that trials are unpredictable. Trials are unpredictable. That word face trials, or that phrase face trials, is the same Greek word that's used in Luke chapter 10 in the story of the Good Samaritan. If you know the story of the Good Samaritan, here's this story about this man who was walking down the road, and it simply says, and I quote in Luke chapter 10, it says he fell into the hands of robbers. In other words, out of nowhere, he wasn't expecting it, wham, he suddenly is robbed. And that's what James is saying is about trials. That's what he's saying about difficulty. He says they come out of nowhere. They're unpredictable. Who could have imagined, or who could have predicted months ago, or maybe even weeks ago, that we would be where we are, facing the things that we're facing as a community and as a country? But that's just the way difficulty works. It's unpredictable. It starts with a phone call. It starts with a message. It starts with a visit to the doctor. And out of nowhere, trouble comes. You just get up and you think it's going to be another day. And wham. And so James says, you just have to understand the reality of trials. And he goes on from there. He says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. He says this, another thing about the reality of trials is not only are they standard, not only are they unpredictable, but they come in different forms. That phrase, many kinds, means varied in color. They're various in color. In other words, they're not all alike. You see, the reality is this morning, many of you are facing maybe an emotional trial or a spiritual trial or a physical trial. Some of you are facing financial trials or relational or spiritual. They come in various forms. Some are public and people know about them. Others are private and no one knows the battle that you're in. Some are going to last a long time. Some are going to be brief. Some are going to be very difficult. Some, not so much. Some will be very common, and you'll be able to look around and go, I see other people that are going through the same thing I'm going through. There may even be some unique difficulties, and as you look around, you go, am I the only one that's dealing with this? But James says, hey, they're standard in life. They're unpredictable, and they're various in their form. But then he goes on from there. In verse 2 and 3 and 4, he begins to talk about the possible results of facing trials. Let's look in verse 3. He says, now you know that the testing of your faith, he says, you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. In verse 4, he says, let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. You know, I said possible results of facing trials because he's going to give us some possibilities here, but you know, we have to be honest today, there are other possibilities. Many people, when they go through difficulty, they get angry. They get bitter. They get resentful. I was just reading an article just this morning about an individual who is going through a health situation, and it's a very common health situation. And in the article, he said, I got mad at God. And he said, I began to drink too much. I walked out on my wife. I responded in a way that I never even expected I would respond. But James says there's a different way of looking at this as well. He says that this difficulty that we're going through, he says that you can consider it pure joy. Verse 3, he says, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. One of the first possible results is this, that this difficulty that you're going through, that we're going through, trials, they produce a spiritual toughness. He says perseverance here. And he's simply talking about, he says that we develop this perseverance as we go through difficulty over and over again in life. And that's important because difficulty is standard option on life. You've heard it said about athletic teams who get in a tough game. And many times the announcer will say, you know, I think they're ready for this close game. They're ready for this fourth quarter battle because they've been tested as a team. You know what that means, don't you? It means that they've been in some other games that were close, that were tight, that were to the end. They've been tested, and they came through, and they responded correctly. On the other side, you hear many times there's a team that maybe they win all their games by great margins, and then they get in that tight game, and the announcer will say, well, I don't know how they are going to respond because they haven't been tested like this. What James is telling us is that as we go through life, and we face these difficulties that are standard options in life, and we're tested over and over again, and we respond the way God wants us to respond, it creates this spiritual toughness. You know, Parker and I, my son Parker and I have this conversation. We've had it for years. Many times we'll see somebody respond to life in a negative way. And he knows what I'm talking about, and I'll even say, Parker, what was the problem with that person's life? And he goes, they didn't spend enough time on the playground. Because we grew up, and he grew up, me telling him, you know, part of learning about life is learning how to deal with the playground. The playground is a fun place. It's a place that you enjoy, much like life. Life is to be enjoyed. It's a fun journey. But also on the playground, You have to go through some things. You have to push through some things. You have to push through the difficulty of other people. You have to push through that you didn't get your way and everything didn't go the way you wanted it to go. And we often talk about, you know, sometimes you got to push through on the playground. That's what James is talking about. He says, listen, as you face difficulty, we develop this staying power and this toughness by just staying faithful and responding correctly and saying, God, I trust you. I believe in you. I don't understand it all, but I believe you. And I don't know about you guys during this time where we're practicing social distancing, and I think we're all about tired of that, I think. It's just so odd not to have you guys here and for us not to be able to fellowship and to visit. But some other things are coming out of this. I don't know about you, and I'd love to hear from you. I am eating everything in sight. I mean, every snack known to man that's in our house, I'm eating on a daily basis. I don't know, are you doing that? If you are, tell me, because it'll make me feel better. Because I've eaten so many snacks that I think my family's keeping a record of it. But at the same time, there's a positive to it. We're exercising a lot more. I've never seen so many people out walking. And my dog is so excited that we are practicing social distancing because we are walking him every day. And I think everybody else is doing the same in our neighborhood. We're meeting people we've never met before. So we're doing this walking, and we're walking the other night, the entire family and the dog. And so we've been walking every night, sometimes twice a day. And someone said, you know what? We haven't been doing this long, but it's gotten easier already. You know, we live in a neighborhood that has a lot of hills, and so you're walking up hills and down hills and up hills and down hills. And I'll be honest with you, it was kind of tough when we first started, but as we continue to do it, it's funny. Even after a short period of time, it's become easier. That's what James is talking about. As you go through difficulty and you're faithful to respond, faithful to be obedient, faithful to do the things God's called you to do, he says, guess what? You get a little bit of spiritual toughness built up. And then he says that in verse 4. He says that this perseverance in verse 4 finishes its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. He says the second thing that is a possible result is that these trials, this difficulty, they produce maturity. There's a spiritual toughness that produces maturity. Now, I want to clarify something right here. Difficulty and trouble in and of themselves do not produce maturity. It is the obedient response to God in those situations that produce maturity. If it was just trouble and if it was just difficulty that produces maturity, we'd all be spiritually mature. We'd all be responding to life the way God wants us to respond. But the idea that James is talking about here is, listen, if you want to reach your full potential, you got to walk through this standard feature of life. It's called difficulty. It's called trials, trouble. And so if you're going to reach your full potential, you've got to go through this. And this spiritual maturity, it's not about knowing everything. It's not about getting through to the end of the difficulty and go, you know, let me explain why that happened. That's not it. It's not about knowing all the answers about why something happened. It's about simply saying, you know what? In the midst of this, I'm going to honor God by trusting God and by being obedient to God. And God just wants to bring us to that point that our faith rests upon the character of God and not just the blessings of God. Because so many times we're tempted to say God is good and to praise Him when everything is going our way. But then when we face difficulty, sometimes we don't do that. And he simply says, listen, I want to bring you to the point that your faith and your trust in me is based upon my character. To simply say, God, I don't see your hand, but I trust your heart. And so he says the possible results of this standard feature of life is a spiritual toughness. He said a possible result is that it produces maturity, that you can walk through it. And as you're walking through it, even on the backside of it, to say, I don't understand it all, but I trust God. So here's the question. How do we respond to difficulty so that is the end result? How do we respond? Well, If you got your Bible with you, back up to verse 2, because he starts right at the beginning. And when he says, how do I respond to the trials of life? First of all, he says, be joyful. Be joyful. He says in verse 2, he says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. The word consider means you're going to make a choice. And when we face difficulty, we make choices. And James is just reminding us that when you face those difficult situations, make the choice to be joyful and to rejoice, because you know what God is doing in the midst of all of that. You know, it's hard to smile in the midst of difficulty. And so when you're in the midst of difficulty, we're facing different circumstances, even where we are now and what we're going through, you know, we kind of rejoice in anything that kind of makes us smile or laugh. And I'm going to tell you, a lot of you guys are helping me in this. All of you who are homeschooling your kids because school is out, you are cracking me up. I'm not on social media, but other people are telling me and showing me some of your comments. I love the one that I saw yesterday, or somebody was showing it to me yesterday, and it says, if you see my kid locked out of the house tomorrow, please don't be concerned. We're just having a fire drill. I love that. Well, that is awesome. One of my favorite was last week when somebody said, hey, it looks like we're going to be out of school for a while. We're going to start going through some online school things with my kids. They had grade school kids. First day of homeschool report, 2 kids have been suspended. And so in the midst of all this difficulty, I think you're looking for something to smile at. We're all looking for something to smile at. But James says, listen, beyond those things, you consider it pure joy. You can rejoice because you know God is at work. You don't rejoice for the difficulty. We don't rejoice for what is going on right now. But in the difficulty, we can rejoice because God is at work. And so he says, one of the ways you want to respond so that you develop this spiritual toughness and you reach that point of maturity is to rejoice. He goes on in verse 5, he says this. The second thing you want to do is pray. He says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. You know, I think more people are praying now than ever before, maybe. And we're praying for relief. And we're praying for a way out. And we're praying for God to do something miraculous. And for God to do, and you can fill in the blank. But I also know that James is simply saying, hey, in the midst of this, pray, God, help me to see it from your viewpoint. And in seeing it from your viewpoint, help me to respond as you would have me respond. And so when we pray and ask God for wisdom, as he says in verse 5, we're simply saying once again, God, I trust you. I want your viewpoint on what's going on. Mature faith says, I want to see it from your viewpoint, God. And then I want to respond from your viewpoint. And so rejoice and then pray. And then third, he says this. Thank God for being at work and for his promises. Verse 12, if you skip down several verses, he says, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. You know, I don't understand all this going on. I never understand all this going on, and I don't think you do either. And there's some things that we can't really put our finger on. We don't always see the hand of God, but what we want to do today is we want to say, God, I don't see your hand, but I trust your heart. God, I don't know what you're doing, but I know you're at work even behind the scenes as we speak this morning. As we often sing here, and it's become one of the favorites, not only our church family, but so many, God is a way maker. And we thank him for that, that he is a miracle worker. And we thank him for that as well. And so today, before you get too far into the day, say, God, thank you. Thank you for being at work in my life. Thank you for being at work in the lives of those around us, because I see God doing things that I haven't seen in a long time in our community, our church, our country. We thank God that what we're going through is not good. But even out of that, God, as only He can bring good. You know, when I was growing up, like many of you, Billy Graham would be on television, on primetime television, during the week, many times, with one of his evangelistic crusades. And as a young person, even as a child, he would be talking about this and preaching about this, and always wondered why, over and over again, he said, God loves you. And I used to say, they already know that. I remember as a child thinking, I don't know why he says that over and over again. You know, the older I've gotten and the more I get to deal with people, I realize that he said it then, and we need to say it now, because when we go through life, let's be honest, and tough times happen, and tough questions come up, we wonder, does he love us? Yes. Don't look at your circumstances that are around and let that answer the question, does God love you? Today and every day, if you ever wonder how much God loves you and how much he cares for you, don't look at the circumstances, but look at the cross. Because it stands there for all eternity as God's message to you and to me, I love you, I love you, I love you. And even in difficulty, I'm at work for your good. And so today, wherever you find yourself, we thank him for that.